Howie Politics and State Affairs Pro offer insider election coverage, polling, and analysis in Indiana. Our nonpartisan news and legislative tools create a winning combination pro subscribers can't live without. For all the resources you need this election season and beyond, visit pro.stateaffairs.com/IN. That's pro.stateaffairs.com/IN.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
From Wish TV, this is All Indiana Politics Podcast with Phil Sanchez, unfiltered.
And thanks for listening this week. We are joined by Brad Chambers. Brad, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you for being here. Before we get into the politics of it all, as yeah. I like to say, why don't you give us a little background? And you and I were talking before we got rolling right. here. So
yeah.
Who is Brad Chambers?
Brad Chambers. I'm a Indiana born and raised. My family landed long ago. My grandfather landed in Boone County. My grandfather was generally uneducated, and there's two family values in the Chambers family back in Boone County. One was hard work, and the other was getting an education, because when you come from Texas to Boone County and you don't have an education, you really value that education. So my father was the first Chambers to get a college education. He actually attended IU. And so did I. I started our family then moved to Marion County, and I was industrious. I got the hard work gene from the family, family values. I started working as a teenager with some friends, and we built a nice little landscaping and lawn care business when we were 15 and 16. We ended up having trucks, and I didn't even have a license to drive them. And so that led into me paying my way to IU through IU, where I started the company that I continue to run today, Buckingham Companies, 40 years later. So
Wow. That's
a humble beginning. An American dream realized in the Hoosier State, you know, started from nothing, a self-made guy. But that's why I believe in Indiana so much.
Yeah. No, it's a great story. How did you get into public office? How did you decide that this is something you wanted to do? I know you spent some time as Secretary of Commerce.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, kind of walk us through that aspect of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think because of my humble beginnings and I've got a wife of 29 years and a son that's 27. We're grateful. Mm-hmm. We're grateful for our journey, for realizing the American dream here in Indiana. We're grateful for our life here, and we try to give back. And you know, we're active. We have a foundation that's been generous to the community in small ways, and for 17 plus years. And I've participated on lots of different boards over the years. My most recent at the state level was I was chairman of the Indiana State Fair Commission.
Oh yeah.
And I worked closely with the governor and really understood the ag community through the state fair role. And that was a lot of fun, and we did a lot of cool things. The new Fall Creek Pavilion that just opened was one of my projects with a great team out there. And getting to know the governor through that role, he simply called and said, "Hey, would you step away from your business, my day-to-day professional life, and guide the state's economy, guide Indiana's economy as its Secretary of State or Secretary of Commerce?" And you know, my initial reaction was no, because that was a full-time job,
sure.
Full-time staff, and 8 global offices. But the more I went home and thought about it, and slept on it, and talked to my family and my team at Buckingham, the more I realized it was consistent with the values that we had at the company of giving, and so I said yes, conditioned on 2 things. I said, "Governor, I'll do this for 2 years, and I'll do it for $1 a year. This is service. This is not a career change. You know, I've got a great career, and I love the work I've been doing for 40 years, but this is service." And so stepped into that Secretary of Commerce role for two years, and man, did we make a difference. I mean, we broke lots of economic development records and grew wages, and it was an incredible experience that really leads me here today. I looked under the hood of the state, and I said, we've got to We've got a great state, but it could be even better.
Yeah.
And 4 years, if I'm fortunate enough to get 4 years in the governor's office, 4 years would afford me to kind of run towards that even better.
So what, well, first off, what do you do with your buck a year?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you even
right.
buy a Snickers bar with these things?
Exactly. Not
know.
Really.
Right. Right. So, Secretary of Commerce, what then makes you want to then take the jump? Because I did read that you had never run for office at all, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. So how has this been?
Yeah. I am new to this. I've never aspired to be a politician. I've never, it was never on my, early days to-do list to run for public office. It's daunting. I mean, I think everybody, they turn on their TV and then they turn it right off at night because of the vitriol, especially in D.C. politics.
Sure.
But I also believe that citizenship is not free. Citizenship has a cost to it. And again, we're grounded in gratitude for our Indiana journey. And I really, I believe that Indiana is great, but it can be even better, that we have incredible potential in the state. We have amazing people. We have great universities. We've got a great location. We're well run. But we've got to go get it. We've got to go play economic offense. I truly believe when people are economically secure and prosperous that their entire lives are better. Their health's better. Their kids are better. Their education's better. Their housing's better. And so job number one of a governor is to grow the economy, right? To bring in high-wage jobs for our kids, our 80,000 college graduates, to keep them in Indiana at wage levels where they can really build a life, right? We've got to, and then take the proceeds of a growing economy and either give it back to the taxpayer through reduced taxes over time, but also to fix our challenges. We've got to fix education. A third grader today is economic development in the future, right? We've got to make sure these kids can read and are getting a great education. We've got to fix and bolster public safety. I've already come out with an online protection plan.
I was going to get to that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you can tell I'm excited about the potential of Indiana, but you got to play offense for our state and put more money in people's pockets. I just think we've got a great product to do that.
So it sounds to me that economy comes first, and you think everything else will then fall into place once you get the economy stronger. Is that right? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think the math proves it too. I mean, when people are prosperous, when their lives are good, when they have resources, crime is down, right? Education is up. The job of government gets less when people are prosperous and secure.
Right.
So I think it's incumbent on a governor to add more jobs to the economy, high-paying jobs that can create quality of life for people. So grow the economy, number one, and then with the resources that come from a growing economy, obviously run the business of government well, and I think I'm uniquely qualified for that because I've never been a politician before. I'm running against four other folks that have either run for office or have been in office for decades. I come to this with a fresh perspective, a business perspective, but grow the economy and then take the proceeds from that, run the business well, and fix the things and invest in things that are necessary for a good quality of life in Indiana.
Before we get to the online stuff, because I do find that very interesting, and I want to get your interest on that and your thoughts behind that. How do you plan on growing the economy? What are some of the plans that you have to going forward if you do win? Yeah.
So when I showed up at the Commerce Secretary for that buck a year, I showed up with a plan. Right. Yeah, that's what business guys do. They're planners, and we're strategic planners. I showed up with a plan, and I also said to the team, we're going to have some fun. And I built a great team because you can't do anything without a dynamic team, right? And that plan focused on building an economy of the future. It focused on building a strong and growing entrepreneurial ecosystem. It focused on the energy transition, making sure Indiana is not behind in that, and not too far ahead, but not behind. It focused on telling the Indiana story because we've got so many good things here, and we tend to be a little too humble in Indiana, right? There's a difference between humility and confidence. We need to have that confidence to go grow our economy. So before I had showed up as Secretary of Commerce, the state had done about $8 billion a year in inbound economic development. I took that in the first year just by having a plan, bringing in two new industries. I brought in two new industries, semiconductors and EV batteries. We went from $8 billion to $22 billion in 1 year. Mm. And then by the time I left, it was $33 billion. And the thing that makes me most excited is that the wages for those new jobs and that new inbound economic development in investment, the wages were 30% higher than any time in state history.
Wow.
And that was because we had a plan to go get high-wage jobs to lift Hoosiers up. And again, back to that financial security theme,
yeah,
which I think is so important. Now, the other point of that is that $33 billion was spread all over the state of Indiana. There's 53% of that landed in rural or mixed rural areas. That wasn't just urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
So half the state got really nice investments, Terre Haute, Kokomo.
Rural Boone County, right?
Boone County. New Carlisle, mm-hmm. Fort Wayne, Marion.
Yep.
So that's having a plan, believing in the product of Indiana, which I firmly believe, and I proved it. And then Lilly, my gosh, Lilly landed $44 billion, all wages higher than $100,000 in Boone County. That validated, verified that Boone County LEAP strategy, right? By the ink wasn't dry in the LEAP plan, and Boone County, or in Eli Lilly announced its largest investment in life sciences in company history with $4 billion and 700 jobs over $100,000. So I proved that you know, we're not taking full advantage of our opportunity and our potential, that we can shoot higher and run faster as a state economically.
When it comes to social stuff, I mean, we've seen over the years that a lot of businesses have left certain states because of the state's, feelings on social issues.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I'm a conservative Republican, and so, but what I will tell you is that, you know, Indiana's got a lot of economic momentum right now, right? I think there's a lot of conversation around those social issues, and I'm empathetic and sympathetic about those. I am a conservative Republican, but I also think when I go around the state of Indiana, when I talk to people in northern Indiana, southern Indiana, east and west, what I hear about is inflation in property mm-hmm. taxes and the need to you know, prosper. I don't hear about the social issues. And so that's where my focus is.
Right.
The number one job of a governor is to grow the economy, put more money in people's pockets.
We talked about the kids and online. That's in the forefront of your
right.
campaign.
Yeah.
Why is that? And,
yeah.
and what are some of your plans when it comes to protecting kids?
Yeah, again,
specifically online.
They call me an outsider, but I've never run for office before, so all I know what to do is do what I've done mm-hmm. that's worked, and that is come with a plan, right? Come with a plan, and I'm going to come to this governor's race with policies and a plan, and we're going to roll those out over the next several months. And the first one we rolled out was our Safe Tech Plan, right, about protecting kids under 18 from technology. Technology is great, but it also can, if we don't protect our youth, it can take their data. Kids are getting online. There's huge percentages of 13-year-olds and under that are getting to sites they shouldn't be allowed onto
mm-hmm.
because big tech really wants their data and is not that concerned about, you know, protecting our youth. So we have to do that, and other states are doing that. It's a bit of an uphill climb, but I think it's so fundamentally important to protect our youth as they're in their educational journey, as they're maturing, right, to protect them and do what we can, because that's going to affect how they get educated too and how they grow and mature.
Right.
So that's why it was number one for us, is we think it's that important.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have two kids, 12 and 9, you
yeah.
know, so every day it's a conversation yeah. in the household.
Yeah.
So
parents need help on that.
Oh, it's
right?
not easy.
It's not easy.
There are so many. I mean, listen,
yeah.
they have phones. It's
yeah.
You don't know what they're doing online all the time. So
we're going to try to help, and it's going to take a village on that. But we think it's that important to at least get some guardrails around technology use for our kids.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had conversations with Governor Holcomb about running for office?
Yeah.
I would imagine you have.
Yeah, I mean, he and I worked extremely closely. In my 2 years as Secretary of Commerce, I visited 15 countries, and most of those trips are with him. And he and I were great partners in growing the economy. $33 billion in 2 years is a staggering amount of investment. He's the current governor. He's got a lieutenant governor running, and I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's just kind of watching and waiting and to see how the race unfolds. I don't know what he's going to do. I got to run my race. Right?
Yeah.
I am focused on our plan, our strategy, talking to voters statewide, and just, you know, keeping an eye on my race and looking downfield.
What has it been like so far when you're visiting all of these counties, all of these towns? What's that been like?
Again, I've never done it before, so I didn't.
Right. This is kind of eye-opening stuff, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting my sea legs under me, as they say. But I will tell you, I am. I was in Shelbyville last night, and I was. I was in Bloomington on Saturday, and I'm hitting a new community every day. I'm having a blast talking to people. I call it, you know, again, I put everything back in a business context. I'm out talking to the customer of Indiana, mm-hmm. and I'm listening. I'm a good listener. That's the only way to learn what's happening all throughout the state, is be a good listener. Taking notes, you know, a lot of that's going to find its way into our policies, at least a first-year agenda. And so it has been super energizing getting out to the community, listening, and it's really been fantastic. I love it.
So you saw what happened here back in 2020 with COVID.
Yeah.
If something like that happens, hopefully it doesn't. Fingers mm-hmm. crossed, knocking away the whole deal. And you're in office. Mm-hmm. How would you handle it? How would you handle it maybe differently? Do you think we did some things right, some things wrong? Obviously, it was something that was new to everyone. So
yeah, I mean, it was a 100-year event, literally, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, people are very concerned about mask mandates, right? So
yep.
we got to be super sensitive about that. I think on a national basis, the economy could have stayed open. But I think there was a lot of great intention. I think we navigated that as good as we could have. I think in the top 10 of all states.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if it happens again, it'll have new circumstances, and I'll have to navigate around that.
Sure.
But people have spoken that they don't like mask mandates.
Right. Right. So you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do a mask mandate.
Yeah, that would be my inclination. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned it before about national politics and how kind of divisive it is.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, and I host a political show, and it's just. It's hard to watch sometimes. This campaign hasn't been like that so far. But it's still early.
It's early.
Do you foresee it maybe getting a little more divisive as we get closer to 2024?
Yeah. I certainly hope we can keep D.C. out of Indiana.
Yeah.
I just do. Indiana's, you know, well run. Indiana is legislature and government works generally well together, right? And I just want to kind of protect the boundaries, the Hoosier values of the way we govern ourselves, and keep D.C. out of that mix. I think it's going to get a bit more exciting. But I'm going to, again, continue to look downfield. And I think our message is resonating. As you know, I'm not very well known around the state.
Yeah.
And that's because I've lived a very private life. Right.
Right.
I'm getting outside my comfort zone. I'm humbled by this journey. But I haven't been planning my whole life to be in public office, so people don't know me. So I'm trying to, you know, let them know that I'm a self-made guy, right? Started from nothing. I'm a business guy who wants to give back. This is service. This is not a career change. I've already had a great career.
Right.
And so it's just, I need to stay focused on my message and plan to do that.
Let's say you become a candidate, you win, and then you wind up winning next year. You're getting into office in January of 2025. What's the first thing you do?
Well, we'll roll out a bunch of
I know you're short on time, I'm just checking our time here. Yeah. So yeah,
continue to grow the economy. That's going to be the I think hallmark of my campaign here. I think we've got to go to work quickly on education. You know, we have too many 3 and 4 year olds that aren't learning and aren't reading, right? And it's growing by the day. So go hard to work in education. I think there's some work to do around public safety and giving cops what they need to do their job, give them confidence that we're behind them, right? So there's going to be a whole list on day one if I'm fortunate enough to be elected by the voters of Indiana. And I will work hard, because that's what I've done my entire career, to shoot higher and run faster, to lift our economy up, to put more money in people's pockets, to give them financial security and prosperity. because, like I said earlier, when I think when people feel financially secure, their entire lives are better, and it makes government, you know, have to do less.
Right.
So it's a virtuous circle. We got to do it, but it starts with education too.
You said police, you said cops, and I didn't ask you about this. I mean, how close to your heart are the police departments across our state?
I mean, you know, our first responders and our teachers. I mean, they're front line of our country in many ways, right? Teachers economically, because, you know, third graders are the future economic growth of our economy, number one. And our first responders and our police officers, and they've had a tough couple of years. We need to get behind them and show them we're behind them. These guys are working hard. They need to make sure that qualified immunity is not just a slogan, it's real. I mean, these guys take those jobs for and have qualified immunity as their protection. We need to give them the tools, in which means enforcing our laws. When they bring a criminal in, that criminal needs to stay in jail, right? We need to give them some tools, and we're going to have a public safety plan here very soon that kind of shows a roadmap of what we're focused on public safety.
Okay.
Yes, to your
would
point.
Recruitment be a part of that as well? Because that's been a problem that we've seen across the board.
Well, remember, I mean, if you're not showing support for your police force, I mean, it's going to be hard to recruit people, right? So it starts with making sure they know we're behind them. We're giving them all the tools that they need to do their job well. And so it starts with that. But of course, workforce is, don't get me going on workforce. It's, you know, you got to invest in community. You got to grow your population, which turns into workforce. Workforce turns into GDP growth, right? So everybody's struggling with hiring and filling jobs. And that was a big focus of mine as Secretary of Commerce and will continue to be. I rolled out the Ready program statewide, 17 Ready regions, touched almost every city and town statewide with $1 billion of Ready. That $1 billion Ready program, it'll have a $15 billion economic impact to grow population because that turns into workforce and that turns into GDP growth for all of our employers.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think that it's a problem, workforce in general?
I think we gotta start with a broken D.C.
You know,
our senators and our congressmen aren't fixing immigration. That's number one. Mm. We've got a closed front door on immigration, and we've got a wide open back door. Right, in illegal immigration is, you can't hire them, right? But some are getting hired, right? So we've got to fix immigration. Number one, we've got to grow our population as a state. We've got to keep more of our college kids here, right? Because those turn into workforce.
Yep.
We have enormous potential, unlimited potential to grow our economy if we fix a few things. Growing our population, right? These kids are making an economic decision when they graduate, went from Purdue or Ball State or whatever. They're making an economic decision. I just invested X in my college education, and I'm going to get the highest return I can.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't get that in Indiana, I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's what's happening. That's why I've been so focused on high-wage jobs of the future. Because if you can give a kid working at Lilly in Lebanon a high wage that gives them a great return on their college investment, they're going to stay here.
Right.
And that's going to build our population and build a prosperous Indiana into the future. So it's multifaceted. And there's some, you know, other administrative things at the state. We got to get out of small businesses' way. We got to cut permits and licenses. There's too many small businesses being clogged up by government stuff, permits, licenses that are unnecessary, right? So I think it's important to let the small business, you know, kind of thrive and get out of the way. You don't have to make $30 on a new license. You don't have to charge them a fee for this, that, and the other.
Right.
That's just, it doesn't move the needle at the state level, and it quite frankly, it slows us down as an economy. So,
Brad Chambers, before I let you go, anything else that you want to add in before we say goodbye?
No, I'm optimistic about the future of Indiana, but you got to go get it. And I am excited about this journey. I'm meeting lots of great people from north, south, east to west. You know, I'm humble about it, though. It's tough. It's a five-way race.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that people are ready for change in Indiana. We're great, but we can even be better. I think people want to see us take full advantage of the potential here in Indiana. And I'm willing to work hard to do that. So I'm thankful and grateful and humble about this experience.
All right, Brad. Well, we look forward to maybe having you back in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
From Wish TV, This is All Indiana Politics Podcast with Phil Sanchez. Unfiltered, in-depth, nonpartisan coverage, exclusive interviews with Indiana's political leaders. Subscribe to this podcast and listen weekly here on the All Indiana Podcast Network. And be sure to discover even more great podcasts at allindianapodcastnetwork.com.